Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Craft of the Draft podcast. And a big one this week, we're looking at our boys' season preview. Had a whole preseason to digest everything. Finally got our list. Seen a few practice games, so we're going to just naturally talk about that. But we're making this a usual thing now. We're going to ask each other a question at the start of each podcast that has some relativity to do with something Talent League.
Yep.
I'm going to start with mine because I reckon yours is a bit more prepared than mine is.
Okay, yep.
And I keep sending you these Instagram posts from Talent League teams that are like, and I keep saying, they should wear that jersey. They should wear that jersey.
Yeah,
and it's Futures jerseys.
Yeah.
My natural question is, who has the best Talent League jersey as we go into round one?
Yeah.
Because Gippy's Futures jersey is terrific.
Okay.
Northern's Futures jersey is much better than their normal one.
This is something you pay a lot more attention to.
Yeah, I'm a big jersey fanatic. It's like, you know, AFL, soccer. Like, this is, I love this stuff.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite? Who would be your best jersey? If I had to give mine.
Yep. I know what I'm saying. Don't take mine.
You say yours.
Bendigo's, definitely.
Oh, I don't like Bendigo's.
I really rate Bendigo's, yeah.
I think there's too many clashes on one.
Oh, to me, it just tells what it is. It tells us, you know, they're near a river, the gold, the blue, the different colours.
I didn't think about it that way.
Yeah.
Mine was more just it doesn't look terrific.
Yeah.
Sandy's is good.
Yeah.
Sandy's is very, you recognise it. I like Oakley's away kit.
Okay.
The big horse.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Fair enough. That's your answer?
That is kind of my answer.
I'm going to ask you another very quick one off the cuff. Yes. Top two Talent League grounds to watch footy at?
This question comes up so often.
Yeah,
okay.
It does in our conversations. And I'm probably more of a ground person than you. So,
Mars Stadium, number one.
Yep.
That's my favourite place to go. And I'm glad nothing against Bendigo, Queen Elizabeth, but I'm glad the triple head has moved to Mars. I'm sure it cops stuff there. But Mars, number one. Oh, number two is hard, actually. Can you give your number one?
My number one's Queen Elizabeth Oval at Bendigo. I love going to Bendigo.
It's a terrific ground.
It's a terrific ground. I think it's a great deck, and I think that grandstand, there's nothing better than watching footy in that grandstand. And if I lived in Bendigo, I'd love going out there on a Saturday or Sunday and watching.
Well, it's the poles in the middle of the grandstand that ruin it for me.
Your second?
My second. Oh, quickly. I could tell you the grounds I don't like. That's quite easy. I think I've thought out enough for it to be a second. Okay. What's your second?
My second is Avalon Airport Oval in Werribee. I really like going there.
I've only been there once, so
I think that's a good spot to watch footy. But we will move into the podcast now and we'll get to some more serious discussion. We'll start with the players who are causing a bit of discussion in the Talent League circles throughout preseason. Obviously, every team's now played at least one practice game on the boys' side of things leading into round one this week. And from that, naturally, there is discussion and there's others who have put themselves on the radar with a really strong preseason, be it with some hard work they've done over the Christmas break or they've come back and done really well in match simulation, intra-clubs, etc. So I'll ask you to name off a couple and we'll have some discussions around them and then I'll do likewise.
For sure. We'll start talking about our top five players we reckon will be discussed on the phones. A lot of them by phones, we mean in conversations we have with people surrounded these players, and we're going to make sure to go to your answers as well.
Yeah.
We do realise that when we ask best forward, mid and defence line, everyone's just saying their own club.
Yep.
So I'm actually not going to take them too seriously. But in terms of players to watch, we'll go through those towards the pointy end. And as you imagine, they are now gone from the story. So I will need your screenshots from that as I posted them 24 hours ago.
Yeah.
I'll name off. I reckon we just go one by one here.
Yeah.
My first is Ollie Hannaford. And I mentioned, you know, in the country episode, he does every position quite well.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's really talked about. You probably can't name too many players that can do that type of thing. And he's very effective with the way he moves. Can have him as a tagger if you want to. And we saw that last year. But one that his pace, his agility around the ball and just general understanding tactically of how to get his hands on the footy and use it well.
Yeah.
couldn't see him going out of discussion.
So that's seen him discussed on your end. He's been discussed on my end as well. And for the reasons being, and I'm sure you've probably got the same thing, that he hasn't made the Vic Country Hub. And I think there's a lot of people that are surprised about that. So that's the big thing there, because he, you know, he's got the traits you talked about. He's also got the toughness as well. So he's not afraid to win his own footy. So he's one that's come up a lot. Another one that's come up a lot, and I would say arguably from my point of view, has probably come up the most. And this isn't to say that he's, you know, one of the best players in the talent league yet. He hasn't even played a talent league game. But a lot of people are really curious about Ruben Burke, a 198-centimetre key defender out of Wodonga, who, like we say, doesn't have the experience but does have the height. And there's a lot of intrigue about what he's able to produce. He played on a similarly raw player in Taj Bond last week and showed some nice signs with his ability to read the flight. But he's a name that keeps coming up.
One that we both thought, and you brought this up early on Friday night in Sandy and Oakley's Pracky, was Sulzberger.
Yeah, and he's another one on my list that keeps coming up.
Great size, and probably hasn't really done anything of note in terms of his around such a talented list. And I think we'll quickly learn how good he is. That's the statement. He will quickly learn how good he is. And he showed that on Friday night.
Yeah.
Pretty clean and
hard.
Moves well, yeah.
Yeah, so hard at it. And, yeah, he'll definitely feature prominently for the Allies. So he's from Tassie. And, yeah, last season played some APS footy as well, and obviously with the Sandringham Dragons program. But, yeah, he's one that gets discussed a lot, I think. In a similar vein to him, Harry Armstrong from the Sandringham Dragons, yep. I've got a little bit of discussion with, because he didn't play Talent League last year because of how strong the Sandringham Dragons lineup was. I mean, you think of the marking forwards they had. You had your Charlie Harrops and your Will Browns and your Archie Mays and your Kelsha Deers. Yep. He just couldn't find a spot in that team, and obviously had the schoolboy footy as well that he played, but has shown in the practice matches that he is probably as good as everyone hoped he would be. And I think he's one that we'll watch very closely throughout the year, because he can certainly hold his own in a contested marking situation.
One that I wouldn't have had on my list yesterday, but certainly after today and what I saw from him.
Talk today, yeah.
Yeah, so recording this on a Sunday, and we were both out at Prackies today. I was at Hillsville, Eastern and Western, lovely, lovely country ground there. Quite big as well. You're at Wonthaggi for Dandy and Gippy, and I'm sure you'll touch on that. But Cody Anderson,
yep.
Who, look, I've still got my ifs and buts with him, because I think probably need to learn a lot about him as the season goes on, but he was very good today. One that just looked like he was moving really well.
Yeah.
Was finding the space nicely as well and got himself in good positions to use the ball effectively. And that's, you know, that use of disposal is something that will probably get brought up in his game a lot, but it was really good today, I thought. Probably 75-80% he's going at.
Terrific, because, yeah, I mean, we talk about that as perhaps being a question mark last year, so used it well from what you're saying today. Yeah. And also at the preseason testing, he ran a 2.885 20-metre sprint, which put him in the top 10. And you look at him and you kind of think, is he a little bit, not one-paced, but does he have that speed because he is so big? And he's showing that he does have that sneaky pace off the mark. So
kicked a goal as well.
Yeah, no, very good. And he had a good preseason last year as well. And yeah, he's been around the talent league system for so long because of that size. They played him as that double bottom major. Josh Murphy, one that's garnered a lot of talk as well, because he's just that really nice size as a forward. He played really well in that Murray versus Bendigo Pracky match last week out at Bundoora. It was him up one end and Job Shanahan up the other. They were both lighting it up. And Josh Murphy is one who is very difficult to beat one-on-one. And I think there's just a belief that he's just got the traits that lend themselves perfectly to the modern game.
Yeah, raw power. You notice that straight away, is just how strong he is. And you wouldn't want to come up against him. And I won't spoil anything, but he'll come up in my discussions later on. Two here that I'm interested. I mean, one, Jaden Nguyen naturally has to always come up in conversation.
Okay, interesting.
And I think he was already that good last season, but I think he's only going to get that better this season.
And he's probably, I don't know if it's for you, but he's one that missed the Metro Hub. So is he a bit like Hannaford that's come up in discussions for you because he has missed the Metro Hub?
Yeah, and I'm not really sure how he did, to be honest. I would argue it depends where he's playing. On the wing, I'd argue he's one of the top three in Metro.
Yep.
I don't know if he'll be play more on the outside or on the inside? Because obviously we've seen a bit in Prakis. I mean, if you want to talk about that, where he was playing a couple of weeks ago for Calder, he was playing a bit more inside.
Yep. Yep. No, absolutely. He was playing. Yeah, no, he was playing a bit more on the inside and has shown throughout the preseason that he can win his own ball. But he was playing half back in that game against Western as well, and that's a position that we know he can play as well. He shows that he is accountable defensively. But yeah, certainly, I think it was an intra club where he was playing on the ball and just showed he had that strength and can win his own footy.
And he's built now.
Yeah, and he has. He's put on a lot of size over preseason as well. Just another. I just want to quickly just name check as well. So Ned McGuinness coming up in a lot of conversation about mid-season draft because of how much size he's put on. That's both in terms of strength but also in terms of height. He's grown. So now he's capable on the wing. He played on the wing against Oakley a bit, but he's also able to go inside and play as an inside midfielder and has that hunt as well. And then Bailey McKenzie, dangerous in the forward half, top ager and a little bit of a new name, but in Sandy's intra club and against Oakley, he did some dangerous things.
I'll probably leave it there, and I could list off probably a few others metro-wise, probably not. I think a lot of players that I have in mind probably in terms of they'll be discussed, but they're already quite high profile.
Okay.
So I don't feel like they fit this category as well as probably what others do.
Yep.
I reckon now most entertaining.
Yeah, let's go through our most entertaining players.
And I'll touch on Josh Murphy again.
Okay, yep.
Yeah, you just... He just, like, straight away, you watch him and you're like, okay, this guy's going to kick three goals. He's someone you would not want to play on because he will just physically outlast you.
Yeah.
And I think it only takes him – he just needs moments. Like, yep. he'll take his moments when he gets them, but terrific to watch. So, yeah, got to be up there.
Did I say to you – because I think I set this – I put this topic on the agenda. I think I said to you that we wanted three most entertaining players to watch. Well, I was having a think about it and I realised my three most entertaining players to watch are all from the same team. So –
yeah, okay. And I know which – I'm going to – is this team Bendigo?
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay. So you know which three. So I'm high on Jobe Shanahan. Yeah. I love watching Archer Day Weeks. I love how confident he is in himself. He's going to have a highlights reel. You can see at the end of the year where he just bursts away with his strength from stoppage and kicks goals. Jobe Shanahan's hands are vice-like. And then Toby Trevally's put on a bit of size and, yeah, really good aerially, but creates so much spark off halfback or wherever he's playing. He's got creativity. Mm. So – I'll group them all together and then give another couple so that there's some versatility there.
All right. Well, then we've Archer Daywicks is one of mine,
yep.
But that's just natural. And then Ricky Menther's the other for me, which I've spoken about how high I am on him.
Mm-hmm.
You can touch on how he went today in his prakki against Dandenong. And before what you said, I mean, it feels like he'll be the type of player. He just thrives on moments, but when he gets his moments, he'll take him, do something spectacular. I think if we expect him to have 20 touches a game, you're probably being a bit unrealistic there. I think it's a matter of his output increasing as the season goes on and being able to add a bit of versatility to his game, but impact having that versatility as well.
So I think he's a small forward is clearly his preferred position, right?
Yeah.
So he's never going to be, if he's playing that position, that player that wins the 20 disposals, like you touch on. He played a little bit of wing as well last year. He was thrown into the midfield. He was, I think, at the first and a centre stoppage of the game against Dandenong in that prakki that you talk about. But he kicked a goal that garnered a strong reaction from all his teammates that were watching on the sidelines, other Gippy people that had come down to Wonthaggi. He basically, and he hadn't done too much all day, but he gathered a ball on the boundary line very cleanly onto the boot in half a second. And yeah, I don't know how it found its way through. It was a tumble punt, but it's Ricky Menther, so of course it found its way through, and he had the celebration to boot as well. So good to watch. But yeah, like you say, he just has to make the most of those moments because that's what makes him the sort of player that he is. Another one that I'll touch on from the same team, from the Gippy Power, is Julian Callahan. So another one who tested well in the 20-metre sprint, and that's what makes him speedy. So watchable. 2.863 seconds in the 20-metre sprint, Julian Callahan, and his ability to break a tackle just with that raw power and speed that he's got is what is going to be really important for Bendigo, for Gippsland this year. He sets them up from the back half, and if he can... if he can use that to his advantage, then, you know, watch out. I think he's one that will at least trial for Vic Country if he continues on the trajectory that he's on.
For sure. I think it's a good time to start bringing in some follower answers here, because it does give us a bit of flexibility with the people. There's a few here, and it actually kind of leads us to a few practice games as well. Dayton Ureta is one that has come up here. Come up,
yep.
I think we might as well discuss his game last week. So Murray and Bendigo played out at La Trobe. That was when it was like 36 last week. It wasn't 36 at that point, but it was pretty hot. Dayton was lively, very, very lively. So he's a 19-year-old this year. He'll play. I mean, he was playing most of his role inside forward 50, but he just took his opportunity, was putting the pressure on, winning his own ball. There's a lot to like from his performance.
Really hard to tackle was the biggest thing I noticed. Just power, just strength. He was able to fend people off. He seems to have taken a big step forward in that regard this year. Mm. And that is how he was able to get some scoring opportunities, his ability in traffic to stand up and have that confidence. I think Lockie Hogan came up there as another one that was watchable. We'll just touch on the fact that he played all six quarters of that Bendigo Murray Prakki, even though there was that heat. So his conditioning's really improved.
I'm not going to name who said who.
Yep.
Because obviously some teammates have said teammates here. I'm just going to say names.
Yeah.
Sammy Lawler, 100%.
Yeah.
Can't even. He'll just.
Can't argue with that.
I'm not sure if I can say, actually. I'm not. The Rebels will be without a few key players. And I'm not going to name the names just in case, because I haven't asked for permission to say the names, but they will be without key players for the start of the season.
Yep.
Which we'll discuss in another episode. Isaac Kakko.
Yeah, and he was one that was unlucky not to make my list, but he is an excitement machine. He's going to go through the midfield a bit this year as well. So, yeah, he's so dangerous around goals.
Zach Harding's up here.
Yeah, well, he's an entertaining character off the field and brings a little bit of that
lovable
to the field.
Character.
Yeah.
Jack Baldwin.
Yep, he's one who, has that talk on the field, and, he's certainly got the mullet as well, so that tells you the sort of character he is. I really like Jack Baldwin. Yeah, I think he could take a step forward this year.
Jesse Dottoli and Zach Johnson.
Yeah, you're really big on probably that pair, and I think from what I heard, they had good prackies on Friday night against Calder.
I still can't forget that Vic Metro trial that Dottoli had.
And yeah,
I
know you brought it up in lots of different podcasts.
Yeah, like that. I like, he's a player that could get drafted. You know how some players have just that one draftable game that was, he was just so electric and exciting to watch. Benny Rondick comes up a bit, and his good teammate has put that answer, who he's going to be quite exciting to watch as well. I'm going to bring up his name, Pep Postorino. We saw him in the 16s country last year. He's an exciting player. I hope he gets some good time for game time for Geelong, but they're both bottom ages, these boys. Rondick. His jump, his athleticism, saw that at testing last week.
Yep. Yeah, it was he won the top 10. Yep.
He won it, I think, for left hand, right, whatever it was.
And Pep Postorino, a small forward, athletic defender.
Archer Daywicks comes up. Xavier Lindsay, Ricky Mentha.
Xavier Lindsay, can I just say, because if I don't say it now, I might not say it. His read of the game, I talked about it last year, but his read of the game is ridiculous because he did it twice today. Where he saw where the Dandenong kicker was going to kick it and just swooped in. He held his run long enough that the Dandenong kicker couldn't change his mind or couldn't change his kick, and swooped in, took the mark, got either a set shot or a set up kick inside 50. So he's just got that instinctive game awareness and sense.
Exciting to watch. He was so good in the grand final day last year. I think he's one that went quite underrated at the end of that performance. Xavier Rivasic.
Yeah, the Zivotron. He's one Zivotron. Who is hard to track down in traffic.
Apologies, my thing just got. Taj Hodden, Murphy Reid.
Yep, hard to argue with either of those.
Murphy Reid was really good, and I kind of said I was holding back judgment with Murphy Reid until I saw a little bit more this year, and it's still early days, but very impressive. Looks just really on it every time he's around the ball. He knows where to put it. It's just clean. He's built on his speed, like he just looks even more well-rounded than he was last year. So, very exciting. I think I've covered Luca Grego. It's kind of covered the main ones.
Yep.
Yeah.
Let's move on. So we're gonna go through our best forward line, our best midfield, and our best back line. So the team with the best midfield forward line and back line. And if we start with the forward line and work our way back from there, and I'll give my best forward line first. And I think it's pretty clear cut, this one. And I think that's the Bendigo Pioneers. They've got Archer Day-Wicks, who's powerful, hard to match up on because he does have that power and strength. You've got Jobe Shanahan. We talked about his hands. You've got James Barrett, who has put on size in the gym in the time that he's been away with a navicular injury. And you've got someone with the height of Taj Bond, who's just got so much reach.
He's like 205.
You look at all that height, you put some small forwards at their feet, Dayton Urita as well. Yeah, tell me there's a more perfectly balanced and talented forward line in the talent league than that. Good luck.
Yeah, I've struggled with most of these lines because I feel like it can chop and change so quickly.
Yeah.
And it's hard because we're giving the best forward line a team can have.
Yeah, we're doing it.
This is not – obviously come round three, round four, it's different. And that's why we're not giving ladder predictions, by the way, because it doesn't mean anything come finals time. Obviously, you've got different teams half the year. I think Calder have a pretty decent – line up in terms of sizes. You've got Kakko as that small option who's so dangerous and lively. Damon Hollow, who again
mid forward,
and this is where I said a few of these boys can be mid forward rotations. Pat Sedd as well, he can hit the scoreboard but also can move further up the ground. Dante Iacovone, holding judgment, but we've heard good things, and if he's able to show his presence up forward, I think they've got a good mix of size there to work with. So I got a few others that I'll bring up as well. Geelong, maybe slightly underrated in this discussion. Zach McGuinness.
Yep.
If Xavier Iversich pushes high, I mean, has the ability to hit the scoreboard. River Stevens, highly touted small forward. Jack Henderson will play midfield time, but he was hitting the scoreboard at the end of last year. He had 4 goals in 3 games, so he's got that capacity as well. GWV, like I said, will not have their full team for a lot of the year.
Yep.
But Jonty Fall, Reece Unwin, Mitch Lloyd last year, 12 goals from 13 games.
Yep.
A few to choose from there. Okay. And Bendigo, yes, do probably have the most versatility with their forward line. But it's always hard because there's always gems that will come out as the season goes on, and this answer could change in 3 weeks. I feel like every answer could change in three
weeks. Which midfield are you going with?
Okay, midfield. It's hard to look past Oakley.
Yep.
You could make a case, but realistically they've got 4 top
15, 20.
Yeah. I mean, Jagger, Foss, Gross.
And Pat Reshko.
Yeah.
That's pretty talented.
Yeah, you count him as a midfielder, though.
I think he's going to play a lot of midfield,
But he can also play that role in halfback, so.
Yeah.
Who's your next? Who would
my
be your next?
My next one would be Easton, I'd say. I think they all complement each other well. You've got Ollie Greaves, Lockie Doveston might get some minutes in the midfield as well as bottom ages, and then you've got the brute strength of Cody Anderson, you've got the offensive drive of Christian Moraes, and you've got the star power and size of Josh Smiley. So I think he'd be Easton would be my next best.
I might just touch on those boys from today. I mean, Ollie Greaves really impressed me. That was the first time I've seen him play, and blew me away. He's just a really classy midfielder and just knows his role really well. Already excited to see him throughout the year. Moraes was taking the PI 55 out there, must say.
Yep.
He was, nuts. Easton, I'll bring up Calder again. Nashkin, Jaden Nguyen, if he does play
Damon Hollow,
Noah Scott.
Yeah. Noah Scott played well.
Totally underrated.
Noah Scott played well in that Northern Pracky as well from all reports after missing the Western one.
Yeah. I think they've got an underrated midfield. Yep. They'll probably be the most consistent midfield, but does Sandy come up in your best midfield as well?
They could. I think that's the one area where they could have a little bit more depth because Murphy Reid's that midfield forward. Sam Marshall's not going to join them until after the first 4 rounds because of playing with the Brisbane Lions Academy. Levi Ashcroft is obviously the star in there. Yeah. And Josh Dolan will go through there but probably also wants to play in the forward line as well because that's where he's really draftable. So, they do naturally. but you know, there's plenty of other names we haven't touched on, but I think those are a little bit ahead of Sandy. I'll go to my back line now, and the back line that I've chosen is Oakley's.
Okay, yeah.
And, same. Yeah, I think, but I am going to name check one other team. But Oakley, based on the fact they've got the big key defender in Lucas Tovey, there isn't too many big key defenders in this draft class, and he is going to miss the first week or two of the season with an injury, but he'll be back and fit and firing, and we know how good he is. They've got Blake Lidler as a small defender as well. They've got Liam Callahan, who can take an intercept mark. We saw that on Friday night. They've got Pat Reshko, who might roll off half back, and all these midfielders that we talked about before might roll off half back, which would strengthen their back line theoretically on paper. Tyke McCarthy, the intercepting defender, Luke Quainer uses it really well, and they've got Zane Cochran, who can roll through the back line as well and has had a really big preseason. But let me just name check, and it's a surprising one, but can I name check Weston's half back line? Because
yes,
against Calder, Western's halfback line was outstanding, and that was where they were able to generate a lot of their scores from. And they put it together only for about a 30-minute period, but you thought, geez, that they could be dangerous if they can get a bit of continuity. They've got Taja Safiri wasn't playing, but he's a lockdown player who's going to have a bit more of an offensive role this season. Then they've got Wes Barker, who played really well, Lockie McArthur, Daniel Gillam, and Luca Grego is going to roll through there as well. So, and perhaps Darcy Weeks can go in there as well. So, yeah, I think there's a few good names there. Probably don't have that key defender to really shut down, but from an offensive standpoint, there's one left field.
I don't know how much to add from that, to be honest. My answer was Oakley as well. Yeah, back lines chop and change quite a lot. Hard to give a real answer for that. And it's really who has the best forward line that's just going to impact a bit more. Best crop of bottom ages. I struggled with this because I personally haven't seen a lot of the bottom age boys yet. Obviously, we saw the 16s last year, but...
Saw the 16s. Comes up in conversation.
It comes up... I mean, I'll touch on today. McGawn and Burden for Western are next level kids, and they'll be within the top three for Western pretty
next
much
year.
I mean, they're ridiculous players, just so good with their footy IQ and know how to move it really well. On to you.
I think pretty clearly when you've got Ollie Greaves, who you know has been projected really highly so far out. You've got Lockie Doveston as well. Andrew Barker is a key defender. Xavier Taylor can take a mark down back as well. Certainly showed that in the 16s last year. And then to name check some others that they're really confident about, Oscar Cafiso, Blake Chambers, Mason Porter and Bailey Lloyd. So there's a few others that might roll through the team that are bottom ages. So I think that's a really strong crop. Sandy, you've always got a strong crop as well. So, yeah, there's certain teams that are blessed with natural talent in their junior pathway programs or the junior footy leagues, and they're one of them. Now I'm going to ask you who's going to kick the most goals.
Well, you haven't. We've got to go through our followers' things.
Yeah, of course.
Although I'm very cautious here because, and I'm sure you'd be the same, I don't know all these players that people have listed. I don't want to say a name that is a piss take. Do you want to read through them to be safe? I feel like you'd know a few more players than me when it comes to bottom ages.
Okay.
Just to be safe. I don't want to get clipped of someone saying a random name that's not even playing in the talent league.
The one that we probably should touch on is Mitch Moat. He's one who, his fitness is really good, played really well in the 16s Metro last year, and he's one through the midfield that's going to get some minutes, I think, at Northern. So, what's around him, we'll find out. But I think he's one we have to touch on. Jack Dalton and Xavier Bammett, both in the emerging leadership squad for Sandy. They've both set the standard in pre-season.
Archie Ludowicks. That is a good watch as well.
Yeah, Archie Ludowicks is certainly a good watch. And I guess the other one, the duo from Murray, Ryder Corrigan's come up here.
Yep.
He's a big-bodied mid. Riley Onley as well, they both did some nice things in that Prackey against Bendigo a couple of weeks ago. They're probably the main ones that keep coming up. Pat Blake's one I've heard about as well from Bendigo. Hopefully he's able to get some games this year. I think he's a little bit injury interrupted to start the season, but when he does, and we've had followers who have name-checked him. But in terms of most goals, I am going to go for Murray's Josh Murphy after much consideration.
That was my first option. But why Josh Murphy?
Yeah, why Josh Murphy? It's a really difficult one because I think my initial thought was Isaac Kakko, but then I thought he's going to get a lot of midfield minutes. They're going to want to show his versatility and he's going to be missing a lot through Vic Metro. Now, I've gone Josh Murphy, who is going to get a lot of midfield minutes to show his versatility, and he's going to be missing through allies as well. So I haven't really countered my own argument there by going with someone different, but I just think when he's in the midfield, he's got more capacity to hit the scoreboard because of how powerful he is. He can still get it around stoppage and score easily. And I think when he's in the forward line, he's going to have a couple of games, like days out, where he sort of kicks sort of four or five or six or seven.
Okay.
So, yeah, I've gone Josh Murphy. But, yeah, it's a real difficult one knowing that they miss footy and then that, you know, they might be played in different positions to showcase their versatility.
So, sorry, Josh Murphy was my first. He was who I was going to say, and then I changed my answer based off school football. And this is a player who I'm confident is playing most of the years, Zach McGuinness.
Yeah,
I think he'll be the leading goal kicker as that tall key forward. He knows how to kick a few goals in the game. Like he was kicking when he was playing, like he had a few bags above two goals. So you bank together a few three or four goal games and you kind of put yourself up there naturally. He'll be their leading key forward. So he's who I have, and I don't think he'll miss a lot of
I think he'll miss through Vic Country. So, yeah. But yeah, everyone that's a will tough miss. One.
So, well, we look back before. Riley Weatherill won it last year with 37.
Yep.
Possibly. And Zane Dersma
was up there as well.
Was up there as well. So, yep. I don't think missing football matters because if you, like, usually these key forwards kick, like, a game of five or six.
Yeah.
And you're already, like, top five. So, yeah, that's leading goal kickers.
I'm going to just, yeah, go through a few players that have had really strong pre-seasons that we've heard about. And, yeah, I guess I'll get you to do the same, but we'll run through a few clubs. I'll start with the Eastern Rangers. Seth McDonald's one that's come up, who's got himself really fit, can play wing, can play half forward, has that aerobic capacity, and there's been a lot of – he's impressed a lot of people within the club.
Yeah, I saw a bit of it on display today, probably didn't get to – fully immerse himself in the game, but it was his pressure as well that I thought was really noticeable. He's not a very built out figure yet.
No.
So
yep.
He's got that running capacity that you notice, great work rate. But yeah, it was his pressure up there that I thought was really good as well.
Yep. Northern. Gabriel Stumpf is one that had a really strong practice match against Oakley and kicked a few goals, and he's going to have an important role to play in that Northern Knights forward line this year. And Lucas McInerney as well, after a disappointing 2023, but he had such a good 2022 that he set the bar so high, played really good school footy and probably didn't quite translate it into Knights footy, but did have a good pracky match on Friday night. So there are a couple that I've noted.
Yeah, well, tough start for Northern in terms of he'll be able to show his best against the best, Western, Eastern, and I'm not sure who they play in round three. We actually have to give our tips in this episode, I do realise, which we will give towards the end. But who do you want to move to next? I swear you did not put this in the run sheet, by the way, just quietly. I'm not prepared.
Oh, no, I did. I did put it in the run sheet. But no.
I'm slightly unprepared.
No, that's all right. Well, yeah, I mean, yeah. Oakley. We'll go to Oakley next. I'll name check a couple. You can name check a couple. Zane Cochran is one who has garnered a lot of talk from within the club, hasn't he, in terms of how well he's been going. He did it in a couple of Oakley intra-club matches and then showed that class, I think, against Sandy as well when he was given the opportunity. And Pat Reshko, 32 disposals. Wowee. He was outstanding because his work rate just stands out, and he's had such a long pre-season, if you want to call it that, because he missed footy last year. I know he came back, but still, he only came back for a couple of games, so it would have felt like a long time between drinks. I think he's just primed for this year.
Yeah, well, he also performed well in Northern. It was against Northern?
Sorry.
Talking about Cochran now. Sorry, my bad. Backtrack.
Yeah.
Kicked four goals. Was that him? That was Cochran.
Yeah, he did.
So a lot to like there, but yeah, Reshko's just nuts, isn't he? He'll probably surpass, I'm going to make a big statement, I reckon he'll surpass, no, I can't. Actually, I don't want to say the name I'm thinking of. But I do think
he'll surpass one of them. Possibly, yeah. I think he's got the capacity to.
Yeah, I'm not going to name names, but I do think he's that type of player. He looks so motivated. You got a player on field that has nothing to lose, like because he's good and he's not highly considered yet by all accounts of where he's listed.
Yeah.
So I think he's definitely going to surpass one of them.
Yep. Who do you want to go to next?
I think Calder's list still is underrated.
Yep.
I'll stay on Noah Scott.
Yep, okay.
He's one I'm so keen to watch that. Look, I think he'll have his struggles being a smaller midfielder, as most do. You've got to stand out. But he wins it as well as a Christian Moraes, like out of the stoppage. And if he continues that type of trend, I don't see why you can't consider him as highly, obviously not as highly someone like Christian Moraes, but he's got that attributes. I think it's just been able to add probably an extra layer of versatility. Like if you put him into the forward line, have a bit of an impact there. You look at the likes of Nash Kinn there, who will just be so dominant, so strong and tough within inside that midfield group. And then you look down back to someone like Harry O'Farrell, who's just been improving just insanely well and starting as a forward in his juniors and now moving to a backman. I think there's so much to work with there. Isaac Kakko, like we said, I think Calder's list is so underrated.
Yeah, no, it certainly is.
And they were good last year as well. Yeah, pretty good last year as well. And
yeah, fell away a little bit. But yeah, it's interesting you touch on Noah Scott. I mean, he has had the injury preseason, so that's grounded him to some degree. I've probably heard more about Damon Hollow, to be honest. Obviously got the captaincy, but got that breakaway from stoppage, which is really impressive. And you touched on Jaden Ewan before. The Western Jets, you watched them today. I think from what I was told, 25 disposals Xavier Kadachi had. So I just want to put this name on the radar. 25 disposals for someone whose name I hadn't heard of in October or November of last year and has put in a mountain of work over the preseason and is one who's going to feature very prominently for them this year. Had a stack of score involvements as well, tackled and got clearances. So he's one that had a good preseason. Tarja Safiri as well, as someone who is a defender who's going to play more of a prominent offensive role. Touched on it before, but he also got a cracking match for Williamstown where he had a good account of himself.
One team we need to mention before we kind of move on to tips, and going through tips, we'll kind of give our season prediction for each team whilst kind of going through the tips. But Tassie, let's just touch on a few of their boys to watch out for. It's a thinner list than last year for Tassie. They had a pretty deep midfield last year, but you kind of start at the top. You've got Oliver Dean as your main ruckman. He'll probably be one of the main ruck prospects as the year goes out. Interested to see how he works against the likes of Zach Harding come round one. That'll be an interesting ruck matchup. Ollie DePauli, Q-Bank. Liked watching him. He was good in that prelim. Elimination against Gippy.
Yeah.
Very agile, smooth mover, very slick.
One that I considered putting in my most entertaining players as well. Yeah.
Lenny Douglas on that list as well.
Yeah, you could put Lenny Douglas on that list as well. He made the Allies list, did Lenny Douglas for the summer training. Connor Ling was the one I was going to say that's had a preseason that I've heard about. Professional teammate and has got the capacity to impact straight away just with that work that he does put in and has that level of exposure that's going to hold him in really good stead. Going back to Sandy, and we touched on a couple of the players that I've got listed down here, but I think it's worth touching on Mitch Kirkwood-Scott, another one that hasn't played a Talent League game yet, but has played. His communication as a backman is really good, and I think he's going to feature really well for them in the first few weeks of the season. So he's one that's just worth name-checking as well.
Yeah, I'm still opinion reserved on him, to be honest. I'm undecided what I think of him
yet. Works hard.
He does work hard. That was noticeable. I'm just more interested to see it against the best kind of thing. He's one of those players I'll just reserve judgment for. You ready to go? I'm keeping track of the time. You ready to go to tips?
And we can.
At the end of tips, we'll give our premiers and runners up.
Sure. Let's do it.
Northern and Western to kick off Saturday. We'll be at this one. I'm going to go Northern here. Western, I think the lack of a forward line a tall forward line. Well, they lack tools in general, Western. I think Northern will just have their measure in a close one, but Northern's my tip there.
Yeah, and I would argue that Northern's tall forward line isn't all that flashy either. But, yeah, I would go Western, personally. I reckon Western will get them by a couple of goals just with their ball movement off halfback. And, yeah, I reckon they might surprise a few teams this year. So I'll go Western.
So
and just to touch on, Daniel Snell tested really well as well, so he's one I want to watch.
Where do you think both teams will kind of end up?
Western, I think, will get about – I think they'll end up in that there are a lot of teams that are more talented than them, but I don't think they'll be a bottom three team, put it that way.
Let's give a win prediction.
Yeah.
Or kind of, you know, I'd have both these teams – I think Western fall within the bottom four, to be honest. I just don't think the depth's there. But I do think they might knock off a few teams, especially during that school period. I think they're one you can't take lightly at the same time. They're not an easy beat.
Yeah.
It's just depth. Northern probably finished just below mid-table, in my opinion. They probably put up a good... They'll be quite good during the school period. They don't lose as many, usually. And and I'll put this on the record, they're the best team. And by team, I mean connection. And being at testing last week, it's so evident. They get around each other really well more than any other team. So I think they'll be the best in terms of synergy on the ground.
Yeah, I would put them sort of... Yeah, probably 8 to 9 Western, and I'd put West. Sorry, that's Northern, and I'd put Western in a similar boat anyway. So,
this is out of 13 teams. Where Murray and Tassie. This is in Craigieburn. Ruck battle's interesting there. We haven't seen Tassie yet, so it's very hard to judge. Murray played pretty well, all things considering that it was their first time all being in the one spot last weekend, and that's the life of a country team. That was the first time they've all been in the one spot. So I'll go with Murray here, and this is kind of we're both a bit unsure as to how both teams will come out, although we have seen Murray once. Probably the midfield for Murray, you've got someone like Ollie Warburton in there, Colin Paul that can run through there. I think there's just a bit stronger class, like in terms of size as well.
I think they're stronger.
Yeah, they're stronger. They're just stronger.
I think they're taller as well. I think Murray as well. So, yep, I think Murray will be around that six or seven mark. And I think Tassie, it won't be their year, but they do always find a way to scrap a couple of wins because they have that connection. Well, they're the only team that represents
Tassie finished first the last 2 years.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say Tassie – come like first 3 weeks and last and finals, they won't go far, but I do think they'll finish like top six because they don't lose many throughout the year. So Murray, I know those boys are pretty eager not to have a losing season. So I still think they're kind of sit mid-table, just under. I just think that the metro depth they don't match. That's the only issue there.
I just think the size they've got compared to other teams.
And they win in... They win up in the country. That's the one thing with Murray. So close to mid-table. Sandy Calder, RSCA. Yep. Sandy, but as much as I love Calder, Sandy's full team. How do you beat them?
Yeah.
It's a very hard – if Calder come away with a round one win, we should do power rankings, although it's so hard. But power rankings, that is a game that would decide them. But I'd go Sandy in that one.
Yeah, but not by as big a margin as you would expect. No. Where do I expect them to finish? I expect both of them to be the losing prelim finalists this year.
Both of them?
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. I'd have to agree both go very deep. Don't know where. I'm not going to say where they exit. I'm just going to say, I think they're both top four sides when it comes to power rankings at the very least.
Yep.
The big one, Oakley and Eastern, Sunday, Trevor Barker.
Yep.
Do you reckon there'll be a crowd at this?
Yeah.
I hope there is. Huge one.
Because for
this is like eight to 10 top.
This is what you're looking at in your first centre bounce for Oakley versus Eastern. You've got Ilaru Smith, who's on the radar as a potential number one draft prospect. If he's playing in the ruck, he could be tapping it down to three potential top five draft prospects in Ollie Greaves next year, Christian Moraes next year, Christian Moraes this year, Josh Smiley this year, and they'll be against Boston Dowling, who's also a mid-season draft prospect, Tom Gross, Finn O'Sullivan and Jagger Smith, who could all go top 10. Like, how many top 10s can you get in one little circle of Melbourne? So yeah, that's going to be a fun one to watch.
Who's your tip?
My tip is Oakley.
No, mine's Eastern.
Okay.
And
no, mine's Eastern as well. Oakley have had an interrupted preseason, and we saw that on Friday night against Sandy. So I'll go Eastern.
They do
as well.
Look well. Is what? Okay, can I ask a question? Is one of your premiers in this game?
Yeah.
And who is it?
So this is my grand final. So, okay. And I'm saying Oakley to beat Eastern in the grand final, but I'll say Eastern to beat Oakley here because, like you say, they've had a really interrupted preseason in terms of where they've been able to train. So it might take them a little while to hit their straps.
Okay. This is not my grand final.
Okay.
I'm not going to say anymore, but both of these two teams obviously make it deep. GWV, Bendigo.
Yeah.
I would have had GWV as, like, grand finals. And I might come the end of the season. They're missing very big players for a good part of this season. And I think they will struggle as a result for most of the season. They just lack depth now. They won't be bad by any means, but I do think without these players, yeah, it'd be a bit tougher. I'd actually just lean for Bendigo.
Yeah,
but I would so easily change my mind again if Rebels win.
I could change my mind 20 times this week, but I'll say Bendigo by a couple of goals.
I think it's a bit close because this one's just 20 minutes
maybe,
out of Ballarat.
Maybe GWV's midfield gets them over the line, but I've said Bendigo now, so I'll stick with it.
Well, in terms of where both finish, Rebels, I think, finish lower on the ladder, but with a full team at the end of the season can beat anyone. That's my opinion. And Bendigo, interesting. I don't know if their depth will get them deep enough to contend.
Yeah.
That's the thing with them because their top end's elite, but it's what's underneath. Can that get them further into finals? Can that beat Metro sides? Questions like that.
Fifth for GWV, ninth-ish for Bendigo for me.
I think both finish in the bottom half of the ladder, but both could do things we don't expect.
Okay,
those two type of teams. Last game of the round, Geelong Dandenong, Deakin Uni. Geelong comfortably for me.
Yeah, okay. I think Dandenong will want to avenge what happened today, where probably just to give a bit more of an overview, so you had, Gippsland won comfortably, Harry Doughton played well, Harvey Langford went all right, Patrick Blink was quite good as well and put his name sort of there or thereabouts, but there wasn't a whole lot else. I think both of these teams will be towards the bottom part of the ladder. I think that Dandenong will win with no reason.
I feel like we've had a lot more teams towards the bottom than we had the top. I think Geelong will be pretty good, to be honest. Okay. I don't think they can win the premiership, but I do think they can. They made the prelim last year. Like, they're not. I think they could be a little underrated on the country side of things because I do think they're better than Bendigo. I do think they're, without a full GWV team, they're better than GWV. They'd probably be at the top of my country teams, to be honest. So, Geelong are interesting. Wait and see. You've said your premiers.
Yep. Oakley to beat Eastern in the grand final. Yours?
Eastern to beat Sandy in the grand final.
A repeat of last year with an opposite result.
I don't think so Oakley make the grand final. And
I said
and
this last year, this prediction. Yeah.
Yeah, you did. You did. Oakley have the best talent, but if you can't put it together, and noticeably on Friday, I know they've had an interrupted preseason, but they train on small grounds.
Mm.
When it comes to finals times,
bigger grounds.
I just think their game style will not win them a grand final, like because of just the way they have to train, and they've got a terrific team. We saw it with Sandy 2 years ago; they were garbage pretty much for most of the year. But natural talent won them a flag. Let's be honest. They had the Ashcroft, Sheezels, Cam McKenzie, Ollie Hodden, and it won them a granny, right? Can Oakley do this?
Yes.
Because I don't think they win it off being the best team. I think they win it off being having the best individual talent. And Sandy convincingly beat them on Friday night. I know it's so early, but they convincingly beat them. and it was pretty full team. So early
with
days.
With no Levi Ashcroft. Look,
yeah, this could all change in 3 weeks. We've probably made some enemies with the things we said, but take this with a grain of salt. It's under 18 football at the end of the day, and don't take it too seriously.
I'm really excited about all the teams. I'm so excited to see all the teams.
We're obviously advocates of every team. We're just, you know, no one predicts this stuff, so we're going to do it for you. But that is it. Make sure to check out Monday's episode. We had a chat with Kai Bloomfield from Train Stop. Terrific chat with him.
Oakley. He's been at Oakley.
He's been at Oakley. So if you want to hear a bit more about the Oakley boys, yeah, head to that chat. Next Monday, girls season preview, and next Wednesday we will sit here and review the boys' first week of football.
We will
see every team for the boys by the end of the third week, and obviously we can't be everywhere, but we will try and review as many games as possible as we can, but we will see at least one of us will see at least every team once. So looking forward to that. Let us know your predictions. Who do you think is going to win the premiership? Who do you think is going to win in round one? Thank you all for watching. Make sure to subscribe and check out our content channel for more content, and we will see you in the next episode.